So first,
we just have a point to add to finish up with what we discussed last time. Right where we left off with, in terms of what of Shavuot Eidos, was the question of what is the Mechayev, the Azhara, and by Mechayev I mean specifically what is the Isser, the Aveira that you're doing that warrants the that is the responsible for having to bring a Korban. Again, the Gemara in Makos had said, right, that either you need an Azhara for a lot, just like you do for Makos, right? Just like there's no mitzvahs, there's no Makos for a mitzvah asay, there's no Korban for a mitzvah asay, or even if it's possible that you can have a Korban for a mitzvah asay, but that's limited to specific circumstances, kinds of asays, and particular kinds of violating, which don't really seem to be what we have here, but the question becomes, so what's the basis for it? So we explored two other options. One, that it's indeed the mitzvah asay, and it's simply, there's a difference. What the Gemara there is talking about is chatas kavua and korban lo yireh is different, something which I've not seen anybody even so much as hint to. Alternatively, perhaps the isser is, we suggest, lo samo adam riecha, which we don't generally associate with the isser, to the requirement to be meyed, but which is cited as a source for an isser to refuse to testify in the Sifrei. And the Rambam actually, it does quote that in Sefer Mitzvos, although it doesn't find any expression in Mishneh Torah. And I mentioned that I'd love to talk about at the end, that the alternative is to say that as the smog, I think, clearly does imply, that the law, the Azhar of Shavuot Eidos really is lo sisa v'lo bishmina shakar, and kamash malan, you actually do violate that, even b'nishba b'piyachar. Sorry, even b'mushma and piyachar. In terms of the makor that you violated, because it's clear that's an exception, right? Because the general call, as the Mishnah says at Pachasim Beis, is that there's no chiyuv for mushma and piyachar when it comes to Shavuot Bikurei. Presumably, we would say something that Yerucham Shaparlo actually indicates and mentions in the piece that I gave you about Shavuot Mikadon, that perhaps we would be able to indict this from the Chiyuv Korban. Right? The Chiyuv Korban is Megala, that in fact, in this case, the Torah did consider this a violation of the Yisra Vosi Shavu. In the case of Shavuot Eidos, Mushmu B'Acherim constitutes a violation. How do I know that? I know that from the fact that the Torah is Mechayiv Yerucham Korban for it. Now, in terms of how we would understand it, I think that the basic idea would be that the chiyut, the mitzvah to be made, the responsibility to come forth and provide the edus, reframes the nature of the response to the hashpa'a of the toveya. Right? It's not simply, when I insist on my claim, it's not simply just an insistence on a claim and ignoring of a shvua. It's in some sense more than that. Now, what is it? So here I think there are two ways to formulate this. You might say that for the edim who refuse to heed the shvua and they continue to insist and continue therefore to be kohesh edusan, for them to do that is the equivalent of an yes amen. The responsibility to answer with edus gives the power, you might say, to the toveya to sort of thrust the shvua upon him in a way that turns any answer he gives into the equivalent language which explicitly acknowledges the shvua, even if it's even if you don't say anything like Cain or Amen, but you're almost responsible to your responsibility to actually be made means that when you aren't and when you insist, no, I don't know any of this for you, so now that shvua sort of is thrust upon you of karchecha, such that it's upon you whether or not you accept it or not. The shvua is something which is now you're responsible for. Now you can disassociate yourself from it if you actually come and be made. But if you don't, right, so then it actually is considered to be kimotzi shvua mipidam. I think that would be hard to say if you held, like your Shonim who say, that shtika is sufficient. Otherwise, I think this is possible to say if you think that, you don't need to say hein or amen, but you do need to say, no, I don't know anything, right? Or something like that. Ain't on your yodnachayis. So then you could say that the responsibility you made gives the shvua that the toveya is being mashpia them, thrust that upon them willy-nilly. Whether or not they actually acknowledge it, I mean, normally speaking, you could say whatever language or shvua you want. I have no connection to it. And therefore, it's only if I explicitly, hook into that shvua by saying amen or hein, do I become responsible for that shvua. Not so when it comes to Edim, and as a result of the fact that they have responsibility to answer the tvia of the Toveya to be made, that means that the Shvua of the Toveya actually is upon them, regardless of whether or not they specifically acknowledge it in their language. Whatever they say is considered to be sort of Tumot Shvua and Bikin. Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is like an exact parallel, but what you just said about the notion that because we have to give therefore it's Kilut.
They're Motim,
Right. It almost reminds me a little bit of like Gilgul Shvua in a sense, where like certain things you can't, generally you can't take a Shvua on, but once we get in the door one way, we can be Magalga the rest of the time. Is that, I don't know if that's like...
I think it's a very... maybe in an abstract sense, it's a little bit of a different thing. I mean, the question is being able to administer a Shvua something, and here the question is...
I'm saying it's based on like a pre-existent meaning something else. It's based on whether
But that pre-existing thing is probably a key of Shvua. Right. It's a little different. I think the alternative way to say it is less radical in one sense, a little bit more radical in another sense, is not that we consider this a verbalization of a Shvua Sheker, like you were saying, Ami, Kimosi Shvua, Ami Pita, right? You haven't accepted the Shvua, but the Isser isn't necessarily to verbalize a Shvua Sheker. It's either to make a Shvua Sheker, and maybe that's what you have here, like we discussed, this alternative way of presenting Mosi Shavu between the Sheker, right? So you haven't said any Shvua Sheker Mikit. You didn't say anything about a Shvua. But, again, by virtue of the fact that you have responsibility to be made and to answer the Shvua positively, and the Tovei has the ability to call you to testify, so that makes your conduct responsible for the Shvua, that makes you responsible for making the Shvua MS, and in as much as that's the case, if the checker, then you're responsible for that as well. Or you can maybe argue that the third possibility is neither to be Motzi Shvua Sheker Mipiv, nor to make a Shvua Sheker, but then we haven't considered until now. But possibly the idea might be something in between what I would call being Nosei Shvua Sheker, sort of bear a Shvua Sheker, Losisa, in the sense of becoming responsible, of being associated with a Shvua Sheker, which may be more similar to being responsible for verbalizing Shvua Sheker than it is to making a Shvua, to Shekerizing, right? To make falsifying a Shvua. The difference is that you don't actually require an act of verbalization. Verbalization would be one way to be responsible for the Shvua Sheker, but it could also happen other ways. In particular, if somebody has the right, the kaf to be mashbia you, then you would bear responsibility for that Shvua Sheker as well, even though you haven't been Motzi Shvua Sheker in Kibbutz. That's another way to understand the Isser, with Or Chazon Lamoid. Yes?
The middle option that you gave is that the Isser is not to verbalize to make it Sheker since you have to testify. And it's because you have to testify, therefore someone else's Shvua matters to you? Like what?
Yeah, you therefore it binds you. It binds you in the sense that your conduct, which either makes a Sheker or not, is something which is on you.
Not because of the Shvua, because of a separate fee.
Because of your responsibility you made. That responsibility you made gives them the ability to they're empowered to actually bring you to testify. And if you don't, what?
That was the first
shot,
really.
No, and all these pshatim, I think, share that point, which is that they have the cost and you call you to testify. The question is, what does that do? So the first understanding was that makes your response, whatever language you use, makes the equivalent of a main. I'm saying now you can say even if it doesn't do that, no, main or hain, those are dinim in those languages in particular, but it's lav dafka that you have to actually verbalize the Shvua Sheker in order to be over on Losi Shavu. It requires, rather, either falsifying a Shvua. Now, generally speaking, I'm not responsible for what your Shvua says. That isn't true here because of my responsibility made, right, and your ability to call me to testify. And you can view the Shvua as a kind of a tool that you're using for that purpose, and I am responsible for it. Alternatively, this is within the second approach, right? That it's not about verbalizing Shvua Sheker. Alternatively, perhaps you could say that the Isser it has differences more generally in the context of Shvua Bitoy, when I'm mentioning it here, that the Isser is not necessarily to falsify Shvua Sheker to a Shvua, but it's to bear a Shvua Sheker, to be Nosei a Shvua Sheker, I would say. And that normal way to do that is by verbalizing it. But in unique circumstances where the person has the ability to thrust the Shvua upon you, so it's not Kimoti Shvua Sheker Mekiv, that it isn't. But it doesn't need to be in order to violate the Isser. It's sufficient that it makes you responsible for the Shvua.
Thank you. And then the first side of those two that you just said,
yeah.
This is a kiddush by Shavuos. He does mean Shavuos Bitoy. I mean, Piyach Erev is generally not, but it would seem to be the same Isser. I mean, let's say I have a chiv to pay someone back money, and someone took a Shavuos that I'm going to pay back money, and I don't pay back money.
Right, so that's not your responsibility, their Shavuos.
I have a chiv.
Yeah, and you have a chiv, and that would be something that you'd be chayv under the normal dinim mamonos, meaning whatever the consequences of normally being chayv mamon, which you fail to do, that would apply. But the shua is not relevant.
There's even aegis in this.
Yeah, the difference between aegis in this is that he, specifically Tovea has the ability to call upon you to testify and to respond to his hashpa. Hashpa is a method, I think, of bringing your aid in to testify. It's a method of making, you know, sort of raising the stakes for them, and that method involves the ability, you know, you're thrusting the shvuah upon them again. Either, and now it's as if whatever they say is interpreted as the equivalent of accepting the shvuah, or they're responsible for the shvuah. Again, whether it means that you're now your conduct in refusing is a falsification, or if it means, you know, it's something else, which is sort of just you're responsible for that shvuah of a checker. One or the other. I think those are both options. All right. So that's in terms of again the particular permutations. Near less significant than just the notion that there could be such a thing as a we could understand Shavuos Eidos in the case of Shavuos Eidos and Mushma B'Acherim as an exception somehow one way or the other that you do in fact violate Losi Shavu B'Shmi the Shaker, and that's why and that's how you get the Chiyuv Korban. Again, I think this is already implicit in the Smag in his the way he just simply says the Rapasha Azhara Shavuos Eidos is Losi Shavu B'Shmi the Shaker. Okay, all right, Shavuos B'Gadim. Okay, so first question is simply just what is Shavuos B'Kadon? So the Shavuos B'Kadon is a shvuah that you do not owe somebody who's toveya, somebody who's claiming from you money, you do not owe him money when, right, within circumstances where if I were to be modeh that I do owe you, you'd be chayv. Right? This is how the Rambam defines it in the opening halacha perek zayin, right? Toveya chaver b'mamon shim hodebo yechay v'shalem v'kafar v'nishpa oshesh b'yo hatoveya v'kafar says chayv. Now, now, whether this is dafka in response to a tviya, that is a question. The point of departure here, I said that the Makor actually last night, right? The point of departure here is the Sugya Laman Alpham Beis, which is actually in the context of Shavuos Eidos, where the Gemara treats it as a sort of a well-known, self-evident, or not self-evident, but something we can be died from Shavuos, the premise that we know that Shavuos Eidos requires a tviya by the Baalim, by the Toveya, right? By the person who's whose cases he wants to bring to court. Shmuel says that, right, the Gemara quotes Shmuel as introducing the following halacha, that even if the Toveya is Ratzach Areihim, right, and they sort of anticipating him coming to them and, you know, calling them to testify, say, before you get into it, just wanting to let you know, we take a Shmuel, we don't know how you disagree. Right, so Shmuel says that is not sufficient. Right, that is not considered to be sufficient as a context to create Shavuos Eidos. You actually have to be Toveh B'Peh. So the Gemara says, what's the Chiddush here of Shmuel? And the Gemara answers, right, knows if we already know that you need a Tviya, so yeah, you didn't have Tviya here. What's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, Shmuel's Chiddush is that even though he's Ratzach Areihim, and we can consider that at least a Giloy Das, that he intends to be Toveya, that he intends to actually call them to testify, that isn't good enough. You need Dafka Tviya B'Peh explicitly. And the Gemara then says, this is where it comes relevant for us, that's in contrast to Shavuos B'Kadon. Right? But in the same situation of Shavuos B'Kadon, where the Baalim is Toveya, is somebody who's calling, he claims, owes him money, but he doesn't actually, he doesn't get Toveya B'Kadon, he's simply pursuing him. So, in the event that the person who's being pursued, we'll call him the Nitva, even though there was no official Tviya, in the event that he turns around and says, I don't know, you know, I know what you're asking me, you're going to ask me, Shavua, I take a Shavua, I don't owe you any money. So that, the Gemara says, that actually is considered a valid Shavua Spikada. Now, inter alia, the Gemara says that the Makor, the source that we know that Shavua Spikada is different in this respect, is Vikichesh Bamiso, right? Afilu Kolim. There's a pasuk regarding the Korban, where the pasuk says, Vikichesh Bamiso, so, even as you know something is insignificant as, or I don't want to predispose what the Gemara is saying, it's sufficient if, in this case, you'd be considered, this would be a valid choice for cutting. Now, what is the Gemara saying? So here, we, I don't know if you saw the Lechem Mishnah, there are two ways you can understand the Gemara. The Lechem Mishnah assumed that what the Gemara is saying is there is no din tviya klal in Shavuos Bikadah. If this person simply initiates on his own, he finds somebody, he says, hey, I don't owe you money, so that actually does create, that is a Shavuos Bikadah. I just simply taking the shvuah that you don't owe somebody money, regardless of anything else, that itself has is a shvuah zedikah. So even if it comes out of the blue, chayv. The Rambam, however, seems to think otherwise. The Rambam, after all, if this were true, then presumably the klal should simply be you don't need to be tovei b'peh. You don't need to be tovei b'chal. You need to simply volunteer. That's still going to be chayv. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam, when he says that, even if there's no tviyah, what he goes on to say. He goes on to quote, it's the Gemara's example of Ratzach Reyeh. It says, Ketzad, meaning, what is it, what do I mean when I say that there's no requirement for a Tziyah, Ketzad, if he's Ratzach Reyeh, so he's still going to be Chai. Now, the clear implication is that it's Dafka B'chi Hagavna, right? It's Dafka, in the case of Ratzach Reyeh, that this that is sufficient, that would be sufficient to define it as a Shvus B'Kadon, but if he were to simply volunteer out of the blue to somebody who otherwise doesn't know, you know, who this guy is or what he's doing or why he's coming to me, if he were to do that, that would apparently not be considered valid. In other words, there is a din tviya in Shavuos Bikado, and it just doesn't require tviya b'peh. Right? It doesn't have to be tviya b'peh. Even a gila das that he's pursuing you, that is sufficient. Right? This is just, I think, what's clearly implied by the language of Rambam. Right? He says, That's what I mean when I say that there's no that even Benishma Miyatsu, meaning if the guy's running after you and he hasn't yet lodged his tviya, nonetheless, that is sufficient. The clear implication that Stavka is that is sufficient. Right? But if you were just simply to come out of nowhere, no. Yeah?
According to the Lechem Mishnah, just to clarify the Lechem Mishnah, if I go over to somebody and say, you owe me money, and he says, no, I don't, he's chayav shvuah?
No, that probably not, we'll get to why. I mean, in part, the reason would be already implicit in something we said, which is that has to be that if I were to be mo'ed, I'd be chayav amon. Now, if he's the din of where I say that I owe you money, and the guy says, no, you don't, we're going to get to that eventually. It comes up in
the case of where I go over to somebody and I say, you owe me money, and he denies it.
That's a classic case. Yeah. Right. No, but I thought you were saying that if I go, meaning, well, so I'm sorry.
If I go over to Ruben and I say, Ruben, you owe me $100, and he says, no.
Take sure that he doesn't owe you.
He's chayav.
If you take the shua. No, hold on. Not that he's chayav.
No.
No, we're not talking about a chiyu shvua. Let me clarify. If he takes a shvua in response into what you're saying, the typical case of shvus b'gadon is there's no chiyu. You don't have a response. That's already our paragraph. That's already shvus b'gadon. Is where then you can talk about chiyuvim. We'll see how that fits in shvus b'gadon. But the general case of shvus b'gadon is something like shvus edus. There's no chiyu to take a shvua here. He volunteers a shvua, or he's responding to the toveya who says a shvua, right? Who says, you know, take the shvua, right? And he says, Hain, Amen, or he continues to insist, right? If he does that, there's no chiyuv here. Yeah, just to clarify, there's no chiyuv here. We're not talking about somebody who's necessarily, you know, the din of Shavuos Bikadon for the Korban Hashem, which we'll get to in a second, right? For the din of Korban Shavuos Bikadon, there's no chiyuv shvua that to speak of. You're not chai to take the shvua. The question is, what happens when you do take a shvua? Is it treated as, right, a typical case of Shavuos Bitui? Here, Shavuos Bitui L'Shavar, right? That I don't owe you something. So the answer is no, it's not. The Torah, you know, treats it as a Shavuos Bikadon. Well, we'll see the interaction between this and the Parsha of Shavuos Bitui. But it's treated as Shavuos Bikadon, which has its own halachos, which I'll get to in a second. That's what we're talking about here. So it's not that there's a Chiyuv Shavua. We'll see. Some cases, there are cases where you can be Chiyuv Shavua, that's called Shavuos Adiyan, and then we'll get it. But the typical case of Shavuos Bikadon, and for the purposes of the din of Shavuos Bikadon, that isn't a necessary component at all. It's simply something that you say and volunteer, or that it's thrust upon you by the Taveya, so you don't have a chiyuv to take it, and probably the best thing to do, well, if it's to admit if it's true, but if, you know, you could avoid it, probably, according to most Shonim, if you simply just run away, you don't say anything. So there's no chiyuv here to take a shvuah. Okay. Good? Yeah. So, now, what's the makor that you do need a tefiah of some sort in shvuah sevikadon, and why is it different than shvuah seidah? So here I would suggest, again, according to the simple reading of the Rambam, not like the Halacha Mishnah rereads it, here I would suggest that the requirement stems from the word that the Torah mentions in both Lagabe Achiyuv, Achiyuv Korban, and regarding the Azhara, the unique Azhara, which is particular to Shuas Sevikadon, which we'll see in a second, which is Losash Shakru Ish Ba'amiso. Right? Ba'amiso. And Vechichesh Ba'amiso. Which has the implication, it's in some sense against someone, against your fellow. And what I would argue is that the implication is that the Shuah takes place in the context of a confrontation with somebody else, in the context of a dispute, of being pursued. In that case, when you use a Shuah to wield it, to fend off somebody else, so it's not simply a Shuah about having to mention the person, right, that's a Shuah's beat to it. Somebody, you know, I could say that somebody's hair is black, or that, you know, I don't know, they got money, that's a Shuah's beat to it. But where I'm using it, Be'amiso, it's not just like Gabe'amiso or Amiso, but where it's Be'amiso is where it's fending off a dispute. Where we're in conflict, we're in confrontation, and as part of that conflict, as a method of managing that conflict, I use a shua to fend them off. Right? So in that case, it's not just a shua about him really, but against him. That's Be'amiso. I would say it's a sheer in being Be'amiso, of hachashav amiso, of being mishaker ba'amiso. If it's just simply I walk over to somebody out of the blue and I say, hey, you know, shvuah that I don't know your money, so it's no different than any other kind of shvuah that happens to mention somebody else. It's nothing that's not v'chichesh be'amiso. Be'amiso requires it to be part of a, within a context of a dispute being used against it. So that's what I would argue, that this is what differentiates between the shvuah bito the sha'ar that happens to mention somebody and one that is being wielded against it. And then it merges, and I think it makes a lot of sense, that the Gemara is being medayik in terms of the standards for what this requires. It's being medayik that it's sufficient. It doesn't need to be a tviya bepet. From the very pasuk where we learn that there needs to be a tviya. V'chichesh b'amiso. So the point is that it has to be wielded against him. But lav dafka, and therefore it's called who, right? It must be that at least he's ratzach harein, he's being pursued by this person. But once that's the case, as long as I'm being pursued by the person, so it doesn't have to be, there's no tentacle din like there is for a shuas edus, where the guy needs to actually he needs to create the responsibility to come to court to testify by actually lodging a to be a pet. Here it's just a matter of creating the shame hachasha and sheker b'amiso. That's sufficient, then the Gemara is saying, if you just simply do it after being pursued, right? Even though there's no tefiah, that's what I think you could understand. Yeah.
So are you saying that the word amiso itself connotes?
Bit amiso, really.
Okay, amiso, yeah. Connotes conflict.
Yes. This is a general point when it comes to, they're similar in other contexts as well. There are this phrase comes up, and someone's like, it's like a kumecha erecha te'ish.
Is it the bit or is it the amiso?
No, I think it's mostly the bit.
Okay.
I think that's doing more of the word here.
Because the word amiso comes up.
It means in some sense against him, and it's something that's true. Which we'll come to at some point, but you can have HB Surim, which affects somebody else, right? Yeah, I mean, that's an extreme case, but everybody agrees that I can osir your chicken,
right?
So it certainly affects you. And I'm saying Plony's chicken is usher, but that's not beigish in the sense it's not against his person in some sense. So I'm saying that this is a typical formulation. Ish ba'amiso is something which comes up in other contexts too. You know, say mum ba'amiso, these sort of things that come with Kabbalah, it's some sort of tilt. Some sort of confrontation or dispute. Okay. Now that's one issue to raise regarding just the content and the context of Shuas Bekadon. One other one, I'll just raise the question now, and I would think the answer is simple, but it's going to be a complication that arises. What if somebody volunteers that somebody else owes him money? Is that Shulis Begadon or Shulis Begadon? Is that Shulis Begadon?
The opposite.
Right. So what do you think? Well, just based on what you see. In the Pesukim, which speak of the feet, of the feet, right? Pesukim in... what? I would think it's not Shulis Begadon. I mean, it's something that's not Shulis Begadon unless the Torah specifically, you know, sets it, you know, apart from, you know, the typical Shulis Begadon. And all the cases that we find in Pesukim and Gemaras revolve around somebody responding to a tzvi. Again, whether or not he has to be, you know, actually been claimed, he has to have been pursued, maybe a question, but it's always the nitva who's taking the shvua that he's putter. That's what I think. I think that probably is true, but we're going to see some serious, I think. I have not seen anybody discuss it, but something emerges from the very next part of our Hakdama, sort of the last part of the Hakdama, within the context of shvua sadayanim, calls this into question and needs to be dealt with. And when we get there, I'll mention this, and he goes a little bit. In particular, I'll just give you... Now, I'll mention it. Yeah.
I guess just sort of say the opposite. Maybe
yeah.
Just because maybe this still is considered Bahamisa. Meaning, Lemaisa is still going to be a conflict. Meaning,
maybe.
I'm saying, like, presumably Shimon's not going to say yes,
right.
I'll give you the money. Meaning, if he's going to be contentious about it, so that even though there's no formal tzedia,
Maybe. So we'll come back to that. I mean, but part of my issue is simply that we don't find anywhere anybody saying anything about that.
So
I mean, you have very specific parameters of when even a response becomes Shulis Begadon.
Right.
Never do we find that calling somebody else, you can simply just, if I go and I tell, if I tell Chaim, hey Chaim, I'm taking Shulis, you owe me money, and they're like, okay, that's wonderful. And you walk away, if I'm, you know, I think I can know all of Shas, most post-game, and I would think that doesn't count as Shulis Begadon. Nowhere do you find it. I would be chayav as Shulis Begadon for that. And I think that's large. I'm inclined to think it's largely true, but we have to contend with something we're going to see in the Rambam. Yeah.
What would stop me from just taking a bunch of Shulis Shekers and making anyone?
Oh, you're still violating Yisur. You're still actually chayav Karbanos, chayav Makos. We're talking about. I mean, that's a Shulis Begadon,
right?
Right. It's still a Shulis Begadon. But the unique din of Shulis Begadon, that it wouldn't be.
But I would still create a chiyuv on somebody else due to my shvuah.
No, it would be a shvuah bito l'sha'avar. Right, it's a shvuah bito l'sha'avar. If I say, take a shvuah that Binyamin owes me money, and he doesn't, so it's like saying, it's like taking any other shvuah bito. A chalti. What?
It's like
no, that it's not shvuah shav. It's simply not shvuah shav. It's not something which can be doubted or... it's like saying Shuvah Shachal Bihayim. It's just about, it happens to be that it involves Binyamin's name, but it's a Shuvah Bitu. The question is, when does it become a Shuvah Bikadon? And for that, typically you don't find it that it applies to a Taveya, but we'll come back to it. It's just something that dawned on me as I'm looking at the next part of the topic, towards the Shuvah of the Unimins and its relationship with Shuvah Bikadon, that emerges in the Rambam, which I thought was not Pashut, but I didn't see anybody comment on. I think we'll have to limit it. We'll come at it. Okay, I don't want to be too cryptic. All right. So the din machuyava, so first there's a din that doesn't really contrast or relate to the world of Kavanos, but there's a din of Karen Chomesh and Kevel in certain circumstances. But the one that's relevant to us really is the major chiddush regarding Shvus Hapikadon is the Chi of Korban Asham. So first of all, it's an Asham. This is one of the only several... Ashamus Vadai. Ashamus is only a few cases where an Asham is warranted. There's the Asham Taloi, and there's certain Averos which are Ashamus Vadai. This is one of them, and this is known as Asham Zelos. So this your Chayiv in this case an Asham Zelos, and this is true Bein B'Mezit Bein B'Shoket. Okay, that's explicit in the Pasuk, and in that way it's distinct from Shuas Bita, the Chiyuv for Shuas Bita. And what is the Azhara for this? So here the Gemara indicates that there's a separate lav for Shvua Sheker Legabe Kfiras Mam. The Gemara in Bava Kama, right, everybody see it? Gemara Kufay, in the book? Kufay says, Onishamanu, right, we see that you have to bring a Korban Asham, so Onishamanu Azhara Minayin. Where do we know that you violated an Isser from? What's the Isser for this, right? So I said, "Ain't no Shemel came Mazir." Right. So what's the Isser? So the Gemara answers, "What? Lo se shakru ish b'amisa." You have a new pasuk now, right? Lo se shakru ish b'amisa. Does anybody have the Chumash? So the... Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. Come on. What? Nah, that's fine. So
just pull it up.
What? Yeah, you can pull it up. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Lo Sishakru, that is the Asara. Now, the question I think we naturally want to ask is, what happened to... What about Lo Sishakru Bishmina Shakar? Are you divided that as well? So here, there are two contexts we should ask this question in. One is, Benishma Mipiatma, right? Now here, I think that the standard assumption would be what? You violate this issue? Of course, right? I mean, you took a shua that you that the guy doesn't, that you don't owe somebody money, so that obviously is also a shua's mitoy, and you therefore violate those to shavu b'shmi the shakir. And indeed, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says, over b'shnei lav, right? When he quotes the issue of los yisharku ish b'nami so, so he mentions that, and then when you violate this, you also violate los yisharku b'shmi the shakir. However, here, there's room to wonder whether or not this is so obvious just from what emerges in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, after all, and here are 2 points actually I should mention. One is, Gemara asks, Azara Minayin. Right? Aonish Shemanu, but where's the Azara? So it sounds like it needed to come to Lo Sishakru, Ishbiyami So, in order to say that this is something that violates an Isser. Right? Now this seems to imply, right, that without the Azara, Lo Sishakru Ishmael So, you wouldn't have had an Azara. There isn't an Isser. And that, Lechora is very puzzling. Why wouldn't it be that you violated an Isser? That it's Bechlal, at least prior to the Torah saying Lo Sishakru, which we'll come back to in a second. Why would it be that it wouldn't be? So here I think you find two answers in terms of how to understand this Gemara. Right, did anybody see? The Gaon cited the Shigamethus, what does he say?
The ratio of the original Havamina for Azara is the Chashashim.
Right. So the Gaon interesting was basically says the Khan is making its way, the Gemara is making its way through the Pesukim, through the Pesuk. So the Pesuk is the Losik Rashu, Ishrami So, and then afterwards, right, Losik Novu, right, Lo Yechashashu, Losik Shakru, Ishrami So, Losik Shavu Bishmin the Shaker. So he's making his way through the Pesuk. It's basically, don't take it to really be, you know, literal, that apparently this is the only thing which prohibits it. And Echinami, the end of the next puzzle prohibits it. He's just making his way. You don't have to get to the next puzzle, basically what he wants to say. And the owner Shemano is Arminayim is not really, you know, like, wait, what does he violate? There's nothing that he violates. It's more like, and what's the Azara here? The very next words, not Lo Sicha Hashu, right, that already prohibits something which is without a Shua. Lo Sishakru, that prohibits it. But in Echinami, there's no implication in the Gemara that you don't violate. That's one answer. The other is an answer that the Mishnah Melech suggests in Parshas Drachim, right? Which I included in the first sheet. Did anybody see what he said? In Derech Mitzvah Sechah. Correct. Although, yeah, correct. I think I always forget the relationship between these two, Derech Mitzvah Sechah and Parshas Drachim. I think they're both in the same. I think they're both printed together. Yeah. So the Gaon Mishnah and Derech Mitzvah Sechah, what is he saying, Lady? He suggests that maybe this Gemara is talking about specific case, namely Mushrub Mipiacherim. No, we don't say
it. He does have it.
Yeah, if you say a name, so that's Mushrub Mipiacherim. Mushrub Mipiacherim, which the Mishnah again says that you don't violate in the case of Shuas Vito, you don't have to bring a Korban. They said, so maybe the Gemara is saying, look, you bring Korbanos here, there's always a Pivashim. That's even with Mushrub Mipiacherim, says the Mishnah, right? Again, I don't think I mentioned this, the Gemara derives that from a Hekesh Mazir Shava from Shuas Ages. So if it's truly bring Korban, even in that case, so where's the issue? There, you don't violate Lo Sishavu. This is the Gemara on the Mishnah Melech's reading is saying. You don't violate Lo Sishavu, so what's the Asara there? And he suggests that that's what the Gemara means. It says Lo Sishavu, right? Asara Minayin. How the case must be a Cheirin. There is no other Asara. So where is the Asara? Lo Sishakru. That's what the Mishnah Melech suggests, and we'll come back to that in a second. The Rambam, though, I think it's Sefer Mitzvos. And according to both of those, Rishonim then, according to both of those opinions, it is the case that, of course, regular Shuas, right, at least the Benishma Piazza, Shvua Mikatan violates not only Los Chakra Vishmi So, but also Los Chakra Vishmi Chakra. From the Rambam, however,
the Gaon also would say that it's on both?
Yes. He's just saying that the Gemara doesn't mean, it's just he's working his way through the Pasuk. That's what the Gaon basically saying. He's saying that Dinchinami could have said the next Pasuk, but you don't have to get the next Pasuk. He's sort of working his way. the ratio of this pasuk was being quoted beforehand, and now we're the same for this pasuk being quoted.
It says that it's like bichlal, so bichlal means it's really just lo tishog, and it's not like too. It's not too.
Is that the Gaon is saying that? I actually have a prolo here. I don't recall it.
Either way, you know, whether you says it or not, you're saying that. Well, so what's the point of the Azhara then? What's the point?
No, that's the Gaon you're referring to is Rapsajiga.
Okay, so what?
Rapsajiga. So that's another shot. That's a controversial prolo shot, correct? That I mean, I don't know how much that answers. That doesn't really answer this question, though.
Way,
why does the Gemara not say Azhara? Why does the Gemara say Azhara Shemanu? Onir Shemanu Azhara Minayin and points to Los Shakur. Even if in the end you think it's folded within Los Shakur Bishmini Shakur, but so what was the Gemara's question, and why do you have to come to this Azhara? I mean, why this formulation in the pasuk? I'm not sure if he thinks that answers that question, but I thought he quoted the Gaon for that, you know, as being the answer regardless. You know, what were we saying? Does anybody have the actual language of the Gaon here? That's Rapsajiga Gaon. He's talking about the Gaon quoted Mishita Metzis is just some Gaon.
Mishita?
Yeah. He says, what's up, Nifu Tzarklam, about Kfar Undu Akushizu Kamai de Kamai. Right. Veshita Gumetes, Hevi Bishim Gomzal, Shakasa, Vizelashana, Asar Minayan, Shakizir Kasa Shalay Shakir, Tamalos, Lamoros Shakru, but Din Davale the Misne, Lotisha Vuish and Shakir. And Hanami, you could have, that would have been a proper answer. El Aini, the Tana Lo, the Chakashu, Tana Seifa, Lotishakru. Alright, so in other words, we're moving our way through the puzzle.
What's the point of Lotishakru? The puzzle meaning, according to the Gom, the Torah could have just not said it Bechlal, if it's not before we Piat Therim, it's literally just.
The Gaon doesn't mention anything about Mipiyah.
Okay, so what does Lotus Chakra do? I mean, what's the point of it? Well, why is it in those? Why is it in the
Lavor Lav Shnei Lav? That happens a lot.
It really is Shnei Lav. And they're identical. There's no difference between.
So, I think I mentioned this once before that Lavor Lav Shnei Lav, when you find the Gemara, it can mean one or two different things. Sometimes it means, just in the Rambam's understanding of it, that there are two formulations in the Pasuk that prohibit, that are the same Isser. Right, this is what the Rambam when he sure. says it in the Shurash discusses what is it that he's listing. He's not listing Ataros, but the Dvarim Shemuzharim Alayim. The Dvarim Shemuzharim. He should run me to do. So it's the prohibited things that we're counting. However many times the Torah says, don't do this, or what language the Gemara says it, the Torah says it, but Lemaisa, the proposition, what the imperative is the following imperative. Don't do this. No, it's just the Torah repeating it multiple times.
The one is hard repeated. I mean,
Multiple Azharas are all conveying the same Isser. No, it's just the same Isser. It's, you know, Ribis is mentioned, you know, in five different ways, right? So in other words, you have multiple formulations in the Torah, and there aren't even said that in the Chizuk HaNinyan, right? That the Torah is saying multiple times, don't do something, right? I mean, you have it that the Torah will repeat literally the same Isser, Lo Sisha Hashem Hashem. Says it twice in the Torah. It happens to be the same language. But if it had a little different language, it still would have been the same principle, right? Which is, it's only one issue, right? And then you have, and that's sometimes the case. And then you have other cases where there are two different Isurim. It's just that you could have already understood, right? There are two different Isurim in the Minyan of Mitzvot, let's say. But one of them could have been eliminated and you wouldn't have had any problem. And I would have known already that everything that this Azhara is, this separate Isser is prohibiting, is actually prohibited already. It would have been prohibited under a different Isser though. And now it's prohibiting it under additional Isser. So I'll give you just two examples quickly. What I'm going to do with Gezel. I don't know. One is Oshek. Oshek is Kvishas Mamon, right? Let's say Kovish Shvar Sphere. So for the Rambam at the very least, that's entirely, that's entirely encompassed by the Isser of Losigzal. You violate Losigzal also, right, the way we paskin. And why does the Gemara, and so why does the Torah need to say Losashuk? So the Gemara says Rava and Obensia, Gidal, Lavor Lav Shnei Lavin. Those are two different Isser, no question. Gezel refers to Netilas Mamon, in addition to Kvishas Mamon. Oshek is either only Kvishas Shvar Sphir, or even if it's not just Shvar Sphir, but it's Kvishas Mamon. But the Torah comes to Aser it again under a new shame, and it has a smaller scope. It's not that it's mechadish anything. It's just lavor lav shnei lavin. But this is separate Isser. And the Rama, when I say that the Yochum Shapolo, one of his major breakthroughs, theses was how working with sort of the reconstructing the klalim that Rav Sadia Gaon was using. I mean, he only has I don't know how big the whole Sefer Mitzvot of Rav Sadia Gaon is without Yochum Shapolo. You probably fit in the one page Microsoft Word or something like that. But the three volumes is him. It's an enormously impressive work. I recommend it. But one of these he tries to do is reconstruct. So he has a big theory that Rav Sadia Gaon didn't agree with Rambam on the listing of the Tariq here. He did not list any mitzvahs that don't contribute anything new, in a sense. Meaning, Los Ashok, he claims as an example, even thinks Lotik Novu, even though it's Lotik Novu, Gnevas Mammon is not on Rav Sadia Gaon's list. And he claims that that's because Rav Sadia Gaon felt, number one, like the Riff says explicitly, that at Los Ignovo, every Geneva violates not just Los Ignovo, but also Zelo. And then given, so the Riff Mishal, the Shita Shekvar Biarnu, that he only lists things that actually I wouldn't know, that prohibit things I wouldn't have otherwise known, are prohibited, therefore he doesn't list Los Ignovo. Another, one of his major proofs for this principle in the Rosh Hashanah is the fact that he doesn't list. The Rambam says that there's an ase and a lav, which just an ase lav is the same thing. You count the ase with the ases and the lavs with the lavs. He never does that. So in other words, Hashet just means past week, the Yom Kippur. Hashet Shiva and Los Chalas Alein. He doesn't quote both of them. I forgot which one he quotes. Rabbi Sadio. So he explains, whereas the Rambam has there's one lav, it's one is ase. Sadio's doesn't. So I'm keeping a setting aside of Sadio. The standard way to list the mitzvot is the Rambam's way. So Lotik Novu is not the Chalak Zelo. Even if you held a grid, it wouldn't be something that you would admit from the list of Taryag. So, but this is what the Gemara says. When it says Lavar Lavar Shnei Lavin. So there are these two types, right? Sometimes it means two Asaros, but one Lav. Sometimes it means there are two Lavin, but I didn't need both of them to know that the activity that is being prohibited is prohibited. I only need one of them. And therefore, the Torah says lav roshnei lavin. And the idea, what's the idea behind it? I think one of two things. One is I would argue it's sort of the revealed will. It's what we're saying about the revealed will. What I think the Mishnah and Avos in Avos Rinasan rather, the first Bryce in Avos Rinasan says about sort of the run from natural will. The Bryce says that Hashem Baruch Hu created the world, Asar Ma'amaros. Well, I mean, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't need to expend any kind of effort. I mean, just the Hevel Piv, it can be most of the whole world, in one shot. Why does it need to do it over several, Mamar? So the Rosh says, in order to, Likain Tzchar, the Tzadikim were Mekayim in the Olam, that they're Mekayim, this Olam, which Rosh Hashanah invested. He didn't have to, but he wanted to, invest his own effort and his own Kaviyah, and his own energy into the world as a measure, as a statement of how much he cares about it, so that somebody who helps him sustain it gets that much schar. The Rishayim or Machrivim are Machrivim Olam, which the Baruch Shalom spent 10 Ma'amarim creating. Right, so the point is, it's a measure of the Baruch Shalom's care about it. How much does he test it? How much does he really hate it? How much does he want you to receive schar for observing it, or punish you for failing to observe it? So that's one way to understand it. The Sefer Chinuch, famously, actually, in the context of the Sigla, Oshek, and Ribis, and Nana, says that he has a different point. He says that we say, Ratzel, Kash, Rachel, Zak, Israel, Fichal, Kerbal, Hab, Torah, Mitzos. He says it's Lav, Dafka, Mitzos, also as Haros. So it's actually the Riboy, as Haros, is actually sort of a symbol, or it's a part of the Rosh Hashanah's being a Zakas, with more and more mitzvahs as part of, so the Rosh Hashanah bulking up our contract, our Torah, the Eris, and assume. So different explanation of what it is, but it wouldn't surprise. So this is essentially what the Rambam says about Los Yishakim B'Shakim Yisrael, that even if it is Bechlal Los Yishakim B'Shakim Yisrael, it's nonetheless would nonetheless be Lav Rolav B'Shakim Lav. Right, but the But here, the Mishnah, we'll get back to the Mishnah Melech in a second. The Mishnah Melech might disagree that it overlaps. So we'll get that. So, yeah.
Just to clarify, you were saying before that the Rambam and Sadia Gaon have different approaches in terms of Binyan HaMitzvot.
Right.
Meaning, fundamentally, they both agree that anything that's not considered to be a main construct of the mitzvah is not counted. The only question is, how do you define what the main part of the mitzvah meaning is? Meaning, according to Sashi, when anything, any aspect of a mitzvah, whether it be an Allah or an Aseh, is just one mitzvah. Whereas the Rambam is going to say, like,
no, the principle here that Rishon Fuller works develops is that he didn't list anything if it didn't contribute anything new in terms of...
That's for the Rambam or
Sashi? No, for Sashi. So even though you violate another law, but it's not going to be listed on the Taryag because he's only listing things that contribute to our knowledge of what's us or what's us or Mitzvah.
Isn't the Rambam also fundamentally doing meaning?
No, the Rambam will count Mitzvah's us. This is an example, Sashi.
Meaning he'll count the Aseh and the law.
No, well, here you have two different law. He'll count Lo Sasho, even if it's all fully encompassed. Another thing, Lo Sasi. Lo Tasi Gloria. Right, so every case where you violate Okir Tumu Shachaveh Reh Yisrael, you also violate, says the Rambam, basically, right? You also violate Lo Sigzo. It doesn't, so in that case, Sasi, you're going, I don't remember what he has about Lo Sasi, but in that case, he won't count it,
right.
And the Rambam does, because they're two different law.
But the Rambam, as opposed to the Rambam, who doesn't count the same mitzvah, which is repeated, that's what he said?
The Azhar that, yeah, with the Rambam, when he can't, what distinguishes between him, it's not the same Dabar Shemus Havah. The scope
right.
is different. In the case of Okir Tumu Shachaveh Reh, Dabar Okir Tumu Shachaveh Reh, Yisrael, etc. That can be fully encompassed, and every time you do that, you're also violating another law, but the point is that the law, which prohibits just that, is not a repeat. Lo Sasag Gulur Reh is not a different way of saying Lo Sigzol. How do I know? Because it doesn't prohibit most of the things that Lo Sigzol prohibits.
Right.
Right? So therefore, you count both of them. This is what they're on, right? But if I have just a different formulation, but the thing that's being prohibited is identical, scope and parameters to that which is prohibited by other language, so those two languages are just repeating. It's like saying, twice, just having to using different words, and therefore doesn't get counted twice. But I'm saying both, you end up having cases where the Gemara will say, you're over by Chamisha Lavin, and it's actually, there's both examples there. So there's two actually Yisur in there, and there's five Asaros. Ribbis is an example. I think there are three. When the Gemara says Chamisha Lavin, the Rambam actually quotes it, but there are actually three different Yisurim that you violate, that are violated, and the Gemara makes it into five. Some of them, right? Yeah.
There be not there's a halakha in terms of halakhos for this, or it's just.
So that's in general. It would depend on the certainly if you're dealing with just a repeat of the same permission. The other case. So that potentially is my focus. Did I mention this? I think I mentioned the Griz and Tumura. First Griz and Tumura, I think that here there's my focus between Tosos, Mavinsiya, and Tzmachalev, and Rama. But maybe the Tosos seem to project that maybe they think it has to be. Every time the Gemara ever says, in this stripe, namely where you have two different Yisur, they don't prohibit the same, the formulations are not just prohibiting the same thing just multiple times, but rather two different Yisurim. So the Griz, it sounds like from the Gemara, from the Tosos at the bottom of Tzmachalev, Mavinsiya, that they assume that there had to be, you had to be able to be chayav an extra malchus for it. There isn't just a nachminalness time in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have said Lo Sasho, given that it was already, it's a different issur, but why the Rosh Hashanah only said it, or only would have said it, or the fact that he did say it, must mean that it's translated somehow lamaisa differently in that you get more malchus. Rambam certainly did not believe that. But if you look at the Griz, I think it's the first piece of Torah. He seems to I think he also quotes the Ramban about this, that I mean the Ramban also felt that there must be an Akamina, I mean you can get more Malkus. Therefore, I think the case was that I think Tosos was wondering why, if Lo Sasho you wouldn't get Malkus anyway, because it's the Lav Shifra Mammon, so then why would the Torah be bothering to say Lo Sasho, Lo Sasho, there's an Akamina, the implication being there needs to be. What time is this period over? Because I didn't get definitely not get as far so far, but alright, let's see. Let's get as far as I can. Alright.
We have to learn our ones on this.
Alright. More shurim for is a reboy shurim. Or reboy dinosaurs. Alright, anyway. What? Reboy Zark, yeah. So alright, so just in terms of coming back to our situation, so the Rambam, I think in Sefer Mitzvos seems to indicate the Rambam, I think overall seems to be going in a different direction, again we'll have to understand it. But he seems to, I think that it is not true. It's true that he does cite in Sefer Mitzvos that anytime you violate those Tishakru, Yishram, so you also violate those Tishakru, Yishram, Shaker. However, in Hilchos Shavuos, he does not, noticeably. He does not say that. He only tells you that you violated lo sishar kuri mishnah miso. And normally the Rambam will say in such a case, in mishnah Torah lo, you're over b'shnei lo. Right, I'll give you one example. Lo sizgol nosas. This is notwithstanding the Rebbe's claim, which I think it's a very difficult claim to sustain, that the Rambam never in the mishnah Torah mentions the other iser if it's already usher. I just don't think that's the way the Rambam operates, and I think there's so many examples where you can see that. The Rambam will tell you exactly how many lavim you violate, even if you've already, only need one to usher it, right? But nonetheless, the Rambam will say how many you violate. So I think it's a difficult thing to claim, the regression claim. Admittedly, if you do say that, this point falls. But if you don't, then it emerges from the Rambam. You read his Mishnah Torah, you don't find that you violate those issues. Now, what would the reason for that be? How could that be? I think this explanation would be something which, this is an example of a principle which I'll be an example for, where when the Torah treats some cases with its own law, it addresses it with its own law, so what it does is it removes it from the context of the law, the more general law. Kind of, yatzalidum darachadish, the Indian just being the what Azhar you violate. You violate the Azhar of this new one, only, meaning the Torah is motzio michlal, that iser to just give it its own iser.
Why not
give
it applicants?
What?
Why not give it applicants?
That's just what the Torah iser you violate.
Correct.
I'll give you one example, very simple. I think this is compelling. The Rambam, I think, regarding Lo Signogu, understood it this way, that, again, there are the Rashba and the Rifsi that think that every Geneva violates Gzela. Gzela is just the Kiyus of Mamon Shalkidin. Geneva is the Kiyus of Mamon Shalkidin stealthily. So stealthily stealing, right, being Lokeach Mamon Shalkidin is also being Lokeach Mamon Shalkidin, right? So the Rif in fact thinks that every time you violate Geneva, you violate two Yisroon. You can violate two Lab. You violate Lo Signogu, you also violate Lo Signogu. Rambam clearly doesn't think that. Because he always defines Lo Sigzol as being Lekicha Begalei for Hesia, etc., etc. However, I think there is compelling reason to think that the Rambam understood this, not that Zela, by definition, the word itself, the phenomenon itself, refers to Lekicha Gamon Begalei for Hesia, Shalok Sigzol. But rather because it's true, it just means don't take Mamon Shalok Din. But when the Torah treats the cases where you do that stealthily, differently with its own Azhara, so that removes it from the context of the Yisr HaKali and gives it its own Yisr. Now it's only violating Lo Signogu as opposed to the Yisr from which it was taken, Lo Sigzol. But nonetheless, it would have in fact violated had not, it would have in fact been an Yisr of Lo Sigzol had it not been for the fact that there was a separate Yisr. Example, Nafkamina for this within the world of Gezel is the Pashas, there's a mitzvah Hashavas. Geneva too, right? It's the mitzvah of the Heshev as a Zela is Lavdafka. Zela was a Geneva. What do you mean? The Torah only says Heshev Zela Shagazal. It doesn't say Geneva. There are some who think that maybe the Rambam didn't think it was mitzvah Aseh Vashavas Geneva. I think that's difficult. Although it's just perhaps sustainable, but the more simple thing to say is it is. There is a mitzvah. It's Bechav the Heshev as a Zela. What do you mean it's not Zela? Answer is, that's not true. It is. Part of it is an example of Zela. It happens to be that as far as the Azhar is concerned, the Torah was Motziya Michal of Sigzal and gave it its own Yisr of Lo Tignogu. But when the Torah says Patience of Zela, we're still to understand it means return the item which you write the Zela that includes however you stole it, meaning your name was Michal of Zela. Just that as far as the Yisr is concerned, it was taken out. That is one example. I think there are other ones as well. So maybe that's something that you have here too, where the Gemara would say, where the Gemara would say that would be an explanation for the Rambam where it doesn't in fact violate the Sishavu because the Torah sort of gives its own unique law, removing it from that more general answer. Yeah.
So what about the Sisa with Meshua Shav? What's the Rambam say? Did you say you're violating both or that
violate both what?
Both Sisa and what you show.
Meaning in the Shav cases which are also Sheker?
Yeah.
Well, Nechasinu thought he did. I thought that was not Hudash. Yeah, I don't think the Rambam never says that Allah Evan Shuzav actually violated over B'shnei Lav. And I think the Rambam would have said that.
The Rambam says that it's supposed to say over B'shnei Lav, and you think it's working under a different...
Yeah, I've never done a study of this, but I think this happens frequently, actually. On issues like this, actually. We'll see. Yeah.
And that revush that said the Rambam only talks about, only mentions one.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you would say that the Rambam would only mention one because only one applies, or?
Yeah. He mentioned whatever Isurim. The Rambam was, you know, a systematic codifier. He was just saying the MS. He wasn't trying to tell you what to do and not to do. I mean, that's maybe you could argue Sefer Mitzvah.
So he would say there's more than one Isurim.
So if you violate, he'll list whenever you have an Aveira, he'll tell you what you violate, how many Lavin you violate, how many Isurim you violate. So if he doesn't, ever, anywhere, generally I think means he didn't think you violated that.
So why would one, let's say Geneva Gzela, why would Geneva push away Gzela, but not, you know,
Lavin?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know how the Rambam, I'm not sure if the Rambam himself, you know, had a theory about when this, or he was been dying from the Gemara. So the Gemara say, Lavin lo v'shnei Lavin, al kocheinu. There are cases like this where the Rambam says, you know, I don't know what the distinguishing criterion is here. Yeah, actually, I don't know, I'll give you an example. In terms of defining something as a smachta or something as a ditora or something which is, you know, worthy of being counted in the list of taryag that is derived from one of the Yugno Midos, so he says basically that there are certain criteria that deem that are truly derived, in terms of just defining what is which one is which, basically the deem which are derived, so one of the ways he figures that out is by the Gemara saying Dvar Torah. Instead of Dvar Torah. So as an example, Shtar is Dvar Torah, because the Gemara says Dvar Torah. Other places where the Torah, where the Gemara itself indicates that this din that they're deriving Yud Yom Midos is derived, so that's another example. Right, those are examples where, as an example, the Rambam says, I don't know, he's not claiming to have the explanation, you know, that he figured out on his own. He's saying somehow Chazal had this figured out, and you know, they maybe even P.S. Shmuel had this. I'm just trying to work. So there's a system. It's not something which was evident to him. So to me, it's plausible that Rambam would have said, I don't know when the Torah is being motzia or not. However, when the Gemara tells me, you know, lavor shnei lavin, I know that it hasn't. Right. So I think that probably is the case where he says lavor shnei lavin. I don't, you know, bar line that can be refuted like in 2 minutes for a second. I think the case is almost all the cases where he says lavor shnei lavin, or where Chazal say that, or where Chazal specifically say that lavor shnei lavin. Or that they say you violate both the kohen shenitma. Amazing. Achas mishum lo yavo. You actually look at twice. Achas mishum lo yavo. Achas mishum lo yitama. So yeah, I think that's it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it. I'm not sure whether Rambam would have told you about it. The only thing I notice is that it typically does involve cases where the Gemara itself says lavor lo shenitma. And it's a good question. Why not say, I think there is a principle of the Rambam, there's kind of a yod to the davar, lidam davar chadash, why not say that? I don't know. I'm not sure the Rambam would tell you the team. Alright, do you guys like the test so much?